You take your Bibles, we'll look at Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, a very famous portion of Scripture. It's one of the mountain peaks in God's Word. As we study the book of Deuteronomy, the Bible, Moses is preparing the children of Israel to go into the Promised Land. They've been 38 years in the wilderness, and the Lord is using this writing and the teachings of Moses to prepare the children of Israel not to make the same mistakes. And God has given some great insight, and there's some things we want to see as we look at the Scripture tonight, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." We study the Scripture, crossing the Jordan into the Promised Land is always a picture of the abundant Christian life, the victorious Christian life. And God's designed the Christian life so that we can live there. Is everything always going to be good and beautiful and perfect in our lives as God's people? No. But God has promised to always give us victory. Often the old songs, we cross the Jordan River. They say that's a picture of death into the Promised Land, going into heaven. But that's not good Bible. It's not good theology. It may make a good gospel song, but it's not good theology, because we're living. We have the opportunity to live in the promise, to live in the abundant Christian life. God has promised to give us victory in the lives that we lead, and may we do that through His Spirit. Now, the Bible gives us here, and we will look through this. I want to pay close attention to verse number 7. The Bible says, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." And I'll make an emphasis there tonight. Teach them diligently unto thy children. There's an emphasis here on teaching the Word of God and taking advantage of the opportunities in our lives to teach our families, to teach our children, to exalt God's Word so that we can be residents in the Promised Land, in the victorious Christian life. Let's just begin here in verse 1. The Bible says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whether you go to possess it." Now we see we've got some context here. There's coming a land that we are able to possess. We are able to possess the victorious Christian life. And the Bible's talking, here's some principles as to how you can possess and you can thrive in the land that God's promised. Verse number 2, the Bible says, "That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God." May we learn the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Folks don't necessarily like to talk about the fear of the Lord. We like to consider the love of God. And sometimes we neglect the fear of God. But the fear of God and the love of God work hand in hand. I've said it many times, and I'll continue to repeat it. The fear of God is not the fear that he will hurt me. It's this reverential awe. It's not the fear that God will hurt me, but it's the fear that I might hurt God. You know, I don't want to be guilty of hurting God. I remember as a child, How much I respected and loved my mother. My mom made great sacrifice to raise me and my sister in a single home, a single mother. And she kept us in church, and she worked hard. And, she took great care of us and kept us in church. And I remember, as a child, I didn't want to hurt my mother. I wasn't afraid that she might hurt me, though she was mean as a junkyard dog when I was out of line. She'd straighten me out in just a second. I remember as a teenager, here I am, this big burly teenager. I weighed 250 pounds in 10th grade. I was a big bad football player, but anything my little mama said, I did it right then and there. No questions asked. And I remember when I was tempted as a teenager to do the wrong things, that my mama taught me better. You know what? I feared my mom. It wasn't that I was afraid of the punishment, but I was afraid that I would hurt her. She loved me so much, and she had done so much for me that I feared that I might hurt her by doing the wrong thing. And our fear of God, the fear of God, is very similar to that, and even if it should be even greater. We should fear the possibility of hurting our loving God. We should fear Him. We should reverence Him. We should live in awe of the mighty power and love of our God. The Bible says that thou mightest fear the Lord. If you fear God, as the Bible says, it's the beginning of wisdom. If you fear God, so many things fall in place for the good and the glory of God and what's right and righteous when we fear the Lord. If you're going to live victoriously in the promised land, you're going to have to fear the Lord. That thou mightest fear the Lord, verse 2, thy God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou, thy son, thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. I like this little thought here in this portion of Scripture. It's working through this verse. The fear of God led to something. The fear of God led to the following of thy son's sons, all the days of thy life. You know what? I'm thinking, I'm just young, I know that, but I'm thinking often about my children. I'm thinking about my children's children. I'm thinking about the heritage that I'm making now. I'm not going to make a heritage when I'm 80 years old. It will have already been made. You can continue to make a godly heritage beyond that point, but the heritage that I'm making with my children is right now. And the heritage that you're making in your family and your life is right now. And today, I pray we'll live in the fear of God, and it'll affect our sons and our sons' sons and our sons' sons' sons and our sons' 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 sons and our sons' 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 sons. And just keep on going, if you understand what I mean. Verse number 3. The Bible says, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey." God gives us this promise here in verse number 3. To the children of Israel, it was the promise that they would cross over into the land that flows with milk and honey, that they would that they would increase mightily. And God's promise, blessing to God's people. It's not a prosperity gospel. It's not do this and get all these wonderful things. That's not how it works. But God has promised to bless His people. And the blessing of God is something that we need. God promised the children of Israel that you're going to go to a land that flows with milk and honey. In my study, I thought it was very fascinating. I've never considered this before. But to think of a land that flowed with milk and honey was something that meant something special to these people. You know, at this time in life, getting your food was one of your number one concerns. It seems now in our society that getting our food is not a primary concern. I was told by somebody last night, a farmer, last night we were eating supper and we were having this conversation. Man came by, I know he grows vegetables. He said, my son was in a meeting, with some folks, and they said, "You all need to stop using them pesticides and stuff." And the farmer replied, he said, "You know, we can't grow enough crops without the pesticides." And he said, "It just doesn't work. It's not going to work that way to produce enough food for us to eat." And this lady spoke up. She was really, really obstinate. She said, "Well, just do like I do and go to the grocery store and get some." It reminds me of the little ad in the newspaper. Where'd them green beans come from? The little ad in the newspaper. This woman was just so upset with all the deer hunters. It was in the fall. And she wrote in the personal section in the newspaper, she said, "Shame on all you hunters going out and killing innocent animals so you can get your meat." She said, "Go to the grocery store and buy your meat where no animals were harmed." That's not true, is it? That's not true. But the Bible said that they were going to a land that flowed with milk and honey. And in the mind of the Israelites who were concerned about getting their food, milk was a staple. It was something that they had a lot of. It was something that they lived on. It's something that was a constant, something they had every day. How many of you ever grew up having a milk cow? There's some of you, I see. And the old milk cow, she was a staple. Bessie provided. And you had milk. And you had, and we keep milk in our refrigerator. It's an important thing. Milk was a staple. And when God promised the children of Israel that they could go into the promised land, to a land that flowed with milk, they said, "Well, praise the Lord. We've got that foundational substance." In some countries, that foundation is wheat. In other places, it's rice. And to these folks, a staple, a foundation portion of their existence was milk. They said, "God's promised to meet our basic needs." And isn't it wonderful that God's promised to meet our basic needs? God's people, we don't need to worry and fret about these simple things. God's promised to take care of us. We should work and we should be faithful and diligent. But God said, "I'm going to send you to a land that flows with milk, the very staple, and honey." Now, honey wasn't so staple. There wasn't people raising in large portion bees. You couldn't go to the grocery store and get Sue Bee honey in these days. But honey was something that was very special. Very special. It was something that one of the few things that were super sweet in their life other than the fruits that God had provided. And honey. God was not only going to provide the staples, but God was going to give them something sweet and something wonderful and something precious. And you know, God does that for us. Those of us who God privileges to live in His promised land in the victorious Christian life, God's promised He's going to meet our needs. But you know what? It's so sweet to follow Jesus. Oh, it's so sweet to trust in Jesus. It's so sweet to be able to rest in His Word and rest in His promises. And God's given us these instructions. Verse number 4, the Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Where does the blessings of God come? One place. God Almighty, Jehovah God. Now the children of Israel, they were notorious for getting a little upset and moving away from Jehovah God to the gods of the world. Now you say, "I would never be consider myself an idolater," but we often make idols out of things. And we need to be aware that there's only one God. There should be only one thing we worship. There should only be one thing that sits on the throne of our heart, and that should be God. God alone. Verse number 5. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." All this verse of Scripture is so important. We should love Him with all that we are. We should love Him with all we are. You know, some folks think that love is something that is something, some kind of just fuzzy feeling. But love is different than that. Love is an active choice. We choose first to love. We choose to love God because He first loved us. And as we choose to love God, then we make Him the priority of our lives. And the love of God will actually increase the more we know about Him. My wife and I, we've been married 12 years today. And I thank God for that. It's exciting. We had lunch together. Philip and Christy took the boys, and we had a good time this afternoon. But it's something wonderful about being married to somebody you love. I love her much more today than I ever thought I could have loved her when we got married. And the love of God is something like that. The more we know about the Lord, the more we love Him, and we find that in God's Word. We're to love Him with everything we are, our whole heart. Now the Bible continues, verse number 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Verse number 7, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Now here's an emphasis that we want to make tonight. Teach them diligently through thy children. What are we going to teach? We're going to teach the truths of God's Word. Fear the Lord. love the Lord, obey the Lord, and you can have the blessing of God. And we're going to teach these truths to our children. The Bible says, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. The Bible gives some very practical things, practical ways in which we should do this. Is God's Word a part of your life? Is God's Word a part of your life? Now, I'm not talking about church only. Now, that's important. I was saying about this morning, but I'm always shy, and I'm not looking around right now because I don't want to make you feel terribly uncomfortable. But I thought about this morning in church. I'm thankful for so many people who carry their Bibles to church. If you're not in a habit of carrying your Bible to church, you're going to miss so much that I have to say and so much that we look at in God's Word if you don't have your Bible. You know, the Bible's what we preach. I just go through the Scripture. And we look at the Bible. What does the Bible say? And it's important we have our Bible. Is the Bible a part of your life? Is it have a prevalent place in your home? Do you study God's Word? Do you read God's Word? Do you seek God's will through God's Word? The Bible needs to have a prominent place in your heart and in your life. The Bible says in a very practical way, teach them diligently to thy children these truths from God's Word. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. What are we to emphasize God's Word? Well, the Bible says, when you sit in your house, we should talk of God's Word. We should consider God's Word when we sit in our house. When we sit in our house. When I look at this and I think about it, I'm convicted because even in the preacher's house, we don't talk about God's Word as often as we should. When we're sitting in the house, we should make an emphasis, and as a father, I should make an emphasis of talking and speaking and teaching God's Word. Now, we're not talking about prepared lessons. If you get a pulpit out in your living room and pound it to your wife and your children, shame on you. Don't do that. That's my job. Don't take that from me. Come on. I'm just the one that's... But really, we should, when we're sitting in our house, we should be emphasizing God's Word. We should be emphasizing God's Word. I'm ashamed sometimes that the activities that consume us when we're sitting in our house. Now, I'm not going home and taking my TV out. I enjoy watching a little TV. This time of the year, we don't watch hardly any. It's so busy. But I enjoy watching a little TV. And I have a computer, and I have an iPhone. And there are things that consume my time. But may we not forsake the speaking and teaching and consideration of God's Word in our homes with our children in these days. May we just continue. The Bible says that we should teach them diligently the truth of God's Word to our children when we sit in our homes, when thou sittest in thine house. The second thing the Bible says here, when thou walkest by the way. When thou walkest by the way. You know, our lives, our daily life, should be filled with the teaching of God's Word. We should be considering God's Word as we go. And when thou walkest by the way, we should be using opportunities to teach God's Word. I remember my grandfather, Dick Sturgill, did this to me often. He was using God's Word often to teach me things as I was growing up working with him. One day, he had a car wash and a service station, and my uncle had the service station. His name was Adam. And my uncle Adam, he was not a great housekeeper. And he didn't keep everything neat, but Papa was all the time cleaning and cutting down weeds and that type of thing, and I was always helping him. And I remember one day we were at the car wash and at the service station. We were cleaning up and cutting down weeds. The thistles had gotten really high. And Papa and I was just whacking away at those thistles. And Papa said, you know, boy, why those are there, don't you? I said, well, no, sir, I don't. He said, I'll tell you why they're there. I said, okay, what is it? He said, that's because of Adam that they're there. I thought, my lands, he's so mad at my Uncle Adam. I said, yeah, he should probably get out here and cut these down, shouldn't he? He said, no, boy, I'm talking about Adam and Eve. Because of the sin in the garden, those thistles and weeds have grown up. I thought, my lands, he's so upset with Adam. I was just going to join him. I thought, I'll be mad at him too. he taught me that lesson, and he was doing that. You know, in our lives, we should be taking opportunities. If God by Spirit runs something across your mind, this reminds me of the Bible and of a truth from God's Word. By all means, open your mouth and share it with your children. Share it with your family. Share it with the people around. And let's be exalting and teaching God's Word. The Bible says that we're to be teaching God's Word and considering God's Word and speaking of God's Word when thou walkest by the way. The Bible continues in verse number 7. And when thou liest down, when's a good time to consider God's Word and God's promises? When thou liest down. Oh my, there's so much in Scripture about preparing in the evenings our hearts for God. Mom and Dad, in the evening when it's about time to go to bed, that's not the right time to get everything worked up with the children. They may be the meanest little devils that ever was, but you can take care of that in the morning. Deal with it. Be sure to deal with it. But as we're going to bed, you know what we should be considering? We should be considering God and His Word. We should be considering the promises of God. If you raise children, you probably need to be considering the forgiveness of God in the evening. And when thou liest down, there should be a time that we take opportunity to pray with our children, pray with our families, and pray with each other. You say, I'm not raising children, but in your home, make your home in the evening, at night, a place that pleases the Lord, where God is understood and taught and considered. The Bible says, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, when are we to exalt and emphasize God's Word? In the morning. In the morning. Now, this is hard for me. I'm not a morning person. I get up and I get going every day. But morning, it takes me about 15 minutes to be human. Anybody else like that? I'm glad to see there's a few folks like that. I had a Bible college teacher that, Bob Dalton, he said, I don't ever feel like I'm saved until after I've had my second cup of coffee in the morning. But the truth is, in the morning, we should make emphasis on God and His Word. And I wonder, in your life, is God's Word getting a priority? You may be here and there's a time when you were very consistent in your personal study of God's Word. You took time to read God's Word and pray and seek His face. You took to heart the truths that I need to be teaching my children, teaching others God's Word, but you just let it slip and slide. Well, I want to remind you, this is one of the keys, one of the great keys to living the victorious Christian life, to passing on the gospel to the generations that follow. This emphasis on teach them diligently to thy children. May we emphasize God's Word and may it have a prominent place in our hearts and lives as God's people. Let's pray tonight.